Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back to the Brent and Austin Show, streaming on the Action Sports Jacks 24/7 Network.
Hey, welcome back. Having a fun show. 90 minutes into this one on the Brent and Austin Show on a Tuesday. Brent Martineau, Austin Lane, Jason Hamby, and our Action Sports Jacks 24/7 Network. You can find us at actionnewsjacks.com, Action News Jacks app as well. Some fun conversation about Brock Bowers, a receiver, pass rusher, corner. The Jags have a lot to go at 17. And this is a good time to remind everybody, Shock Your Mock season is right around the corner. You got to send them in over the next really few days. You have until Monday. We'll pick two. And then we start next Monday. Yep. On Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we'll pit two against each other each day. So basically we need 8 mock drafts for next week. Another 8 the following week. So that'd be 16 in all that we will pick out. Then we'll get the winners. And I think I did this part wrong yesterday, but there'll be 8 put together in a bracket.
Yes.
And then we'll have our quarterfinals, semifinals, finals on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of draft week. And you'll be crowned the champ.
Correct.
Of Shock Your Mock season 2024. New way of doing it. And so we don't roast everybody. And they don't all look the same.
Yes.
We roast 2 at a time.
Yes. More roasting.
Huh?
It's more roasting.
Yeah. Get your marshmallows ready.
Yeah. Now.
S'more season is here.
If you want to throw a little Brock Bowers bump in there. Hey, you know, a little Brock Bowers bump now. Yeah.
Might have just tickled the earlobes a little bit.
Yeah. We'll see if Amazon AWS is going to allow that or if he's going to go a little earlier in these mock draft simulators.
Yeah. So anyway, that starts next week. And more on that to come, but just really find us and send them in if you want to be a part of it. You really got 16 spots for Shock Your Mock season 2024, and we'll probably have a prize or something down the road.
Yeah, that's your job.
Yeah, maybe as I was just thinking, I was like, maybe I just go buy a s'mores kit for the winner.
A s'mores kit?
You got roasted.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, that's a nice little touch right there. Yeah, or maybe buy them a backyard fire pit.
Roasted peanuts. Yeah, yep. Fire pit. We can do that.
You buy them a fire pit? Well, I mean, they give them those away?
Cheap ones.
Roasted what?
Roasted peanuts.
Peanuts?
Okay.
Anything with roasted.
I didn't know there was an I in that word, but.
Oh, it's the kids' corner, Brent, you know. It's the kids' corner, man. I had to deal with it last night with my son. It's the kids' corner. It's all right.
You're from Georgia.
What is that supposed to mean?
My family doesn't say that.
They'd probably say a whole bunch of different things.
Well, that's true.
You're from that's the ultimate comeback. That's the ultimate clapback of all. You're from Georgia, though. What are we doing here?
I mean,
you're Georgia.
And I am making fun of it, but since you're making fun of Rhode Island.
Yeah, man.
There you go. People were making fun of Albany, New York last night, too, apparently.
What happened? What?
Did you see Rebecca Lobo?
I did not. Wow, not my girl Rebecca. What happened? I haven't seen this. I was a big Rebecca Lobo fan.
There was something like, I think it was about Caitlin Clark's parents. They're like, well, I'm staying in a hotel. I'm too nervous or something. You guys go find something to do in Albany. She's like, what's there to do in Albany?
Ooh.
One of those moments, right?
Yeah.
Where Albany really showed out, by the way, in terms of supporting the women's regionals. And
yeah.
It was like 300. I talked to my buddy up there, and I was like, are you going to the game? And he said it was $300 to get in, basically.
Hmm.
And so he's like, no.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's how hot the ticket was with Caitlin Clark and LSU. I mean, this really is historic what's going on in women's basketball because the numbers are insane.
Minimum ticket price on StubHub to get into the women's Final Four, $970.
That's unreal.
And that's in Cleveland
this year. And I'm going to preface this by saying that the men's Final Four has 60,000 seats available. The women's only has 20,000.
Okay.
But women, $970. Minimum ticket for the men, $570.
Wow. That's amazing.
You know, we could possibly see a UConn NC State in both. That's never been done, correct? No way.
I can't imagine.
Can't imagine.
That's unreal.
Like, what are the odds of,
That's a pretty wild storyline.
Yeah.
Right? But again, it brings women's basketball in it. This is, it's got to be the mecca right now for women's sport, basketball.
I mean, it's never been big. Yeah, you have rappers talking about it. Jason Sudeikis was there. Yeah. That's your boy Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
Was
Travis Scott.
Talking back to Angel Reese. See that? Oh. Give her the, you can't see me. Yeah, Travis Scott was saying some stuff. Yeah, I mean, it's a good time to invest in women's college basketball right now. I had this in the group chat, and I'm very curious about this. And once again, I watch it. I don't follow it to a T. So I'm not sure if there's going to be like the next up-and-coming superstar that's going to surpass Caitlin Clark. But when Caitlin Clark leaves, how much is that going to hurt women's college basketball? And even Angel Reese.
Angel Reese probably going pro too. I think it has to. I think, you watch that game last night, and what you are impressed with is actually a lot of the other women's players on their team. Like, it's Caitlin Clark runs the show. I mean, she makes everybody better, but it's not like these other women are knocking down shots, tough shots, and like they don't stink. It's not just Caitlin Clark. It's not just Angel Reese.
Correct.
There's a lot of good women's basketball players on the floor. So I think it's helped showcase the growth of the women's game. It's not, I mean, she is just so good and phenomenal and such an attraction right now to the women's game. Obviously, you're going to miss her when she's gone. Like, it's not going to be like this. The ratings I saw, now they'll come out this afternoon for last night's game. But keep in mind, these were Elite Eight games on the men's side. And I think the UConn game did 15.1 million on Saturday. No, this would have been Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I think the Purdue-Tennessee game did 10.6 million. And the women's Sweet 16 game, Iowa-Colorado, did 6.9 million.
Okay.
So obviously there's a hefty difference, but that's one extra round deeper. And obviously the men's game. What we're really interested to see now is when you go apples to apples with those Elite Eight and last night's game.
Dude, I bet last night's game is going to be like record breaking.
It has to be.
Because
the 6.9 was record breaking.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, like, we're at the hockey game, right? And like even like people next to us, like, hey, you see Caitlin Clark just dropped 30. She's got the, like, we were all talking. Like, yeah. I had my phone on, like, watching a little bit.
It is that.
During a hockey game.
It is. It is that. And I think that's why it won't be duplicated, though. Like, you have, this is the old, I always say this about, like, Tiger sometimes when he came back in. It's like, what I envision when you have moments like this in sports is the old, like, in 1922, and you'll appreciate this, Hamby, from a baseball standpoint. If you ever watch, like, the old baseball stuff, and you got the guy, the newspaper boy guy, right? And he's running down the road, and he's throwing the newspaper, like, at the entrance of every, like, grocery store and business. And the word's starting to spread, right? It's like, that's where, you know, what spread the news came from, right?
Yeah, I mean, that whole
idea. But it's that old school feel. And Tiger did this, I think, with the tour championship when he won it. Remember the swarm down in Atlanta when he had finally come back and won? You guys remember that scene?
Yeah.
And then obviously he did it again with Augusta. But I feel like Caitlin Clark is doing this with women's basketball right now, because you just described it. We don't have the spread the news and the kid throw the newspaper anymore. Yeah. We have this instead. The news spreads here, and you're like, oh, I got to check this out. Even if I'm somewhere else, I got to take a peek. What's going on? Wait, she just hit one from 30 feet out?
Yeah.
She just hit one from 28 and then 30 feet out? Like, those are very unusual in sports to get that, is my point. It doesn't matter what sport, men, women, football, basketball, Olympics. There are very few moments that you get that. So, therefore, it won't be duplicated. You can't duplicate what's going on right now, at least in the next however many years.
No, for sure. I mean, like, and I agree with you with those moments. Like, we all wanted to watch Michael Phelps do his thing.
Very good
point. We all wanted to watch Usain Bolt do his thing. It's just like,
excellent point.
Yeah. And Caitlin Clark was that, where it's like, we may not be like the biggest fans of women's college basketball. We may not know any other players or anything, but like, we feel like we miss out if we don't watch it. Like, it's just, it's an in thing. It's like,
it's FOMO.
It's Game of Thrones. It's whatever. It's just, you got to watch the season finale. You got to watch this. What happens now, though, Brent? Like, do we go back to just and like, I mean, with all due respect, but do we just go back to not caring anymore about women's? Because once again, like, this was a perfect storm, and we'll see with South Carolina too, because they have, I mean, they have a lot of storylines, I feel like, at least. But like, it was really a perfect storm with LSU and Caitlin Clark, because it was a story that was told, and it started last year. You know, it started last year with Angel Reese pointing to the ring of Caitlin Clark. Like, that's what set up this whole thing. What happens now?
Yeah, I don't know. And just one more punctuate. I saw a tweet, FanDuel. It was the number one bet thing last night. More than Major League Baseball, that's NHL, cool. NBA, was LSU, Iowa.
Probably have that Caitlin Clark over, too.
I mean, amazing. Amazing. Like, that's where women's... So, what... They can't duplicate it. You've got to ride this and take advantage the best you can. And I think they are. I think between the broadcasts of ESPN and other things, I think... The from rivalries to what we can get into in a second here with the Angel Reese stuff,
yeah.
That these are real sports problems that we don't usually hear from women having to deal with as much as on the men's side that people have to deal with. But now when you bring eyeballs and you get all this attention and really money, because a lot of this is money-driven and also NIL-driven, other things like that, well, now you go into a different stratosphere with some of this stuff. What I don't know exactly how the domino effect is going to happen, but I do think what Caitlin Clark is doing for girls basketball, and when I say girls basketball, I'm talking about 7-year-olds and 10-year-olds, and maybe even boys at that level. We have grown up in a society where we have to differentiate. You can't tell me that women's basketball is even close to men's basketball. It's a different game.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, is it watching a different? Yes, that's fine stylistically. But I've always said this about women's basketball. They do some things that are better than the men. They shoot free throws a lot of times better than the men. They do some of the fundamental things that are better than the men. Does that make it more enjoyable to watch? No, not necessarily. It's not from an entertainment value. But they do things, and we saw this with Steph Curry and Ionescu, right?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Like the shooting 3-point, like it's what a great time for women's basketball over the last couple of months, even with that. She earned a lot of people's respect. You can shoot the rock, not going to dunk over a guy, or probably not going to win a one-on-one battle in the NBA or in college basketball, but you can still appreciate people's skill set. And I think that's what Caitlin Clark's doing too. I mean, she reminds people of Steph Curry. Is she going to beat Steph Curry one-on-one? Probably not. But she can do some of the things in basketball that a guy like Curry, who's taken the world by storm over the last 7 or 8 years, can do and has done. And I think there's a respect factor for that. And I think younger boys are now going to respect women's basketball more than our generation did, more than even Hamby's generation did, and definitely the old generation did. Because if you bring it up, you're like, oh my gosh, no way, it's women's basketball. Like...
Sounded like an 80-year-old Jersey aunt or something right there.
Well, that's what happens because yeah. We did it yesterday, and the bottom line is we were intrigued. I was right. We were intrigued by what happened last night. The viewers around the country were intrigued by what happened last night. It's a great storyline.
Yeah.
Much like the storyline, like I said this on TV the other day, and I think we got into it a little bit. I am not consumed by UConn winning 2 in dominant fashion. Don't give a damn. Don't care. Doesn't do anything for me. I'm not a dynasty guy. I'd rather see NC State win it.
Like, that'd be fun.
Honestly would. But I was intrigued by this storyline last night. LSU and Iowa. And I will say this. I don't think I'll be as intrigued by the final 4 storylines in women's basketball. I think this was the game last night of the season that at least wrapped a guy like me in to come in and watch it casually and say,
yeah, but,
I want to watch it.
But now you want to see Caitlin Clark finish the story.
That's fine. Caitlin Clark, you want to see it. But I think you could then argue, Zach Edey, can he finish the story?
Yeah, don't put him on the
Burns guy. Like,
okay. You know, but Brent, this is different, though.
I get it's different, but we do have characters. I mean,
I do.
I mean, that Burns guy's getting as much attention around the country right now as Caitlin Clark is.
As he should.
Right?
Yeah, so, as he should.
I can come with you on those stories. I'm just saying, I think this was the peak.
Yeah, I think...
Unless you get UConn now on the other side. Is it UConn, Iowa? Who's going to play?
For what, the men or women?
For the women. Like you said, you could get UConn, NC State, but I think if UConn, Iowa, if they play in the Final
yep.
Four,
it'll be UConn, Iowa Friday night.
Oh, that's
at
right.
Nine.
I saw Ori have a comment about it. See, that's State, fascinating because people relate with dominance in college women's college basketball. We used to say Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Well, for the last two decades, we've said UConn. So if she can take down UConn now,
yeah.
Then to me that maybe that does do very well.
The final story is gonna be South Carolina though, because like South Carolina is the juggernaut.
They are, but I think people think UConn still.
Sure, maybe, but like if it comes down to Caitlin Clark versus the South Carolina Gamecocks, like that's how you finish the story.
Yeah, it's true.
I think we'll see what happens with I assume she's going to WNBA next and everything, and we'll see what happens there. I think it kind of set a precedent, though, of what needs to happen now in women's basketball going forward. And once again, like, far be it from me to decide, hey, women should do this, women should do that. Do whatever you want to do. But I'm just saying, from a casual fan's perspective of what I saw, there was, like, talk years ago, like, hey, should we lower the rims a little bit? Should we get more dunking involved? I remember, like, when Brittany Griner dunked in college, and it was a cool thing for maybe a day. But then it's like, well, could she go between the legs? Like, it's never gonna resemble the NBA game. Okay, let's be honest. It's just never gonna happen. But if you get players that have that Kobe mentality that we all grew up as kids with, like watching Kobe Bryant take every shot, stare people down, have that attitude. If you have more women like that, you might have something there. Like, it's one thing that Caitlin Clark is damn good because she is. But it's another thing about how she goes about her business as well. Like, she's not afraid to go, you can't see me. She's not afraid to do the whole ring thing. She's not afraid to get in a girl's face. We celebrate that with men. We love the Kobe Bryants. We love the Allen Iversons back in the day, stepping over somebody disrespectfully. We love all of that. The women, once again, and you have to do this within a realm of, like, being you and not putting on an act or anything. But if the women start doing that more, I think you might have something there. Yeah. Don't worry about the gimmicks, the dunks. It's never going to look like the guys. But you can mimic the guys and Kobe's and the greats if you have that mentality, if you do talk a little smack, if you do get in people's faces, and then you have the talent to back it up.
Yeah, and I think they've done well in front of the microphones too, by the way, by saying that stuff and also like showing the equity of, hey, we're just competitors, right? Men or women. Again, stylistically, appeal, entertainment, those are different topics, Hamby.
Austin, I need you to check out this latest comment from Mr. Hugo.
Hit me with it. Finish the story. Stop comparing them to God. Yeah, this is more WrestleMania talk here and Cody Rhodes and everything. Listen, we talk about people being themselves and with the attitudes, and it's good for the sport. But then we see the other side of it with Angel Reese.
Yeah, yeah.
And how she kind of – do we have the audio at all? Of the press conference real quick? Or do you want to get into this later? Okay.
I can get
we can get into it later as well.
Well, I think people saw it or we can actually paraphrase it pretty well. It's basically what she said. This has to tie in a lot of things, I think. This is your sport being available to more eyeballs, which also opens the door to more criticism, which also opens the door to more stupid in today's society, which also then distinctly different than all those things, feeds into today's topics about mental health and everything else. As a young person, by the way, young female athlete, because we remember that, like, she's been playing for a while. She looks very mature for her age. Whereas we ask our younger people to do that when they get put in the spotlight. Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, they still are 22-year-old young women, or 23-year-old young women, whatever their age is. But what she spoke about was just how tough the year has been for her ever since the Caitlin Clark versus Angel Reese, since they won the national championship, right?
Correct.
Getting and threats and
the
stuff.
The scrutiny and everything else. And I'm not surprised by that.
No, I mean, I'm not surprised by it either. But, and I guess this is kind of the catch-22 of everything. College basketball needed Angel Reese, right? Whether you liked her or you hated her, you were talking about her.
Yeah.
You were tuning in to see the highlights of her. And, and when she lost to Iowa, everyone's kind of waving bye at her. Like, people celebrated her exit. And you know what? She probably had it coming, right? You talk a lot of smack sometimes. That's the game that you play. Now, the threats and everything, that's another level. That should never happen. I mean, come on, what are we talking about here? But this is the hardest thing, Brent, when it comes to being a pro athlete, and I guess, like, in terms of showcasing that personality, showcasing that drive. And I call it the Conor McGregor effect. Conor McGregor is not even a top five fighter in terms of skill set. Like, he's been beaten a couple times now, right? He hasn't won in how many years. But Conor McGregor will always be one of the best fighters of all time because of the things that he said, of the style that he had, and he was always willing to put himself on the line, right? He would say these outlandish things, and most of the time he'd back it up, and sometimes he would fall flat in his face. But, like, he was man enough to take that criticism and say, you know what? I'm going to keep on talking smack.
Yeah.
I think Angel Reese is kind of the same way. I think when the threats happened and the inboxes were piling up, she said, you know what? I'm still going to be me, right? So whether it's a little bit of an act, a facade, trying to cater to the crowd or not, it takes a special person to walk through all that hate, to walk through all that adversity and say, I'm still going to do this. And you know what? The sport of fighting is better for Conor McGregor. The sport of women's college basketball is better for Angel Reese. And these people are few and far between. Not everybody can do what they do and say, I'm going to put it all on the line, all the scrutiny, bring it out of my DMs. That's why I don't do it. I can't do it. I can't get in front of a camera. And listen, I'm a witty individual. I can cut a promo, talk some smack, put on a facade and say, hey, come watch my next fight. I could do that. I don't want to handle the energy of the scrutiny that's going to come if something happens. You know, like, it's just, it takes a special person to do that. So with that being said, hopefully we do get more people like this. Hopefully more people can embrace that role. And, you know, once again, echoing back to college basketball, especially women's college basketball, hopefully people can embrace that a little more and understand what she's doing for the sport.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I think, first of all, I do think this is an I think there are different ways to go. I think we could say something here today on our show, whether it's about this topic, another topic, other like competitors. And I think we could say stuff to entice, to agonize, to get attention.
Yes.
Right? And that's a kind of a premeditated way to go about it. I think that's the way our media world works a lot currently.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you're willing to do that, God bless you. You probably make a good amount of money because you're willing to do it.
Have you seen the Patrick Mahomes beach pictures lately? Did you see his vacation photos? Oh, we'll break that down later. Sorry, bro.
But I think this one's a little bit different because I think we're going to look back on this one and we didn't know all the tentacles of it. Because we also didn't know how big it was going to get. Like, Caitlin Clark has been big, but I don't know. Like, when we see these numbers this afternoon, we got James Hartman saying, hey, we watch the LSU-Iowa game at the house for the storyline. Like,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Like, you're turning it on.
Correct.
Right? Like, I don't think anybody anticipated it was going to be where it's at right now because you also couldn't predict that it was going to be a spot in the Final Four between Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark, LSU-Iowa Part 2.
Couldn't have scripted it better.
You couldn't script that stuff. So I don't, for these young ladies, for the people all around them, I don't think they could predict. They knew it was big, but I don't know if you could predict it's going to be as big as when we see these numbers come out today, that it's even rivaling what the men are doing in their Elite Eight games. I mean, even on the same like stratosphere as that.
Yeah.
Because I didn't predict that. I was sitting here telling you for the last couple of weeks, the storylines are better. The storylines, from a storyline-only standpoint, are better in women's basketball to me this year than they are in men's basketball. But that doesn't mean across the board more people are going to watch it. But what we might find out here in just a little bit is that it was damn close to as many people watching as we're watching the men's game. And I was a little surprised by that. One other part of this story that's fascinating to me is, two. One other thing, when you do hit the limelight like that, and also there's probably Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark really cashing in on NIL, right? And the popularity, whether you ask for it or not, it comes with the territory. You're going to get scrutiny. You're going to get the haters. You're going to be polarizing because people are going to pick a side. That's the way the world is right now. Caitlin Clark gets a lot of
stuff, right?
Yeah. Either like her or you don't, right? Yeah. I mean, and that morphs into a lot of different things. That's why I think a 30 for 30 on this whole deal someday is going to be fascinating. But I think we need some perspective on it and see where it lands some 10 years down the road maybe to actually see it and get back and revisit it. But it's going to be a fascinating one to watch to see what it does for women's basketball, or if it was just a one-time peak thing and back everywhere everyone goes. I think the story is going to be fascinating to be told through the eyes of like the Iowa players other than Caitlin Clark. Yeah. I think that part of the story is going to be an interesting watch.
Yeah.
And maybe LSU as well.
It's kind of like me and Hamby having to be with you every single day. Yeah, right, Hamby? Just, you know, just go with the flow.
But keep in mind, one other part of this,
guys. Give the ball to Brent.
One other part of this. The LSU players have had to deal with a lot. Like, maybe more than any, I'm going to say this kind of without looking back at him, just say it flippantly. Maybe more than any other college team has had to face in the last couple of years or recent history.
Okay, yeah. I mean, Georgia football speaks a little bit, I think, in terms of the controversy.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Is that more when they were out of college? Okay.
Well, I maybe. Yeah, I mean, I think.
Because it was all after the season.
After the season. Yeah.
Okay.
And here's the difference. Georgia football, for this sake, already has eyes on them. A lot of it. Right?
Yeah, okay.
The thing about this that's so different for LSU is there are more eyeballs on LSU women's basketball than have ever been in the history of this of the game. Mm-hmm. And maybe women's basketball for that matter, right now. They've had to go through that. They've had to deal with kind of being the, I don't want to say evil team, but the good and bad side of it. They're on probably the bad side of it because they're the nasty talk trash. Like, they're the villain, right? They're the heel. That's the better way to say it. They're kind of the heel in this. They also have had to deal with their coach, mm-hmm. who they always have to deal with their coach in any way, but they also have had to deal with their coach in the spotlight over these last month in a different kind of way and multiple ways. They're defending their player. They've got a lot of people rooting against them just because they are the heel in this situation. So, I mean, I think they've had to deal with as much as a team that I can remember in college athletics publicly.
Yeah.
And I don't even know of another one.
Yeah.
In recent memory. So I think the story through their eyes some point down the road is going to be a fascinating one. Mm-hmm. Just from a sports standpoint. Again, this has nothing to do with that. This is where everybody wants to turn, not everybody, but some people want to turn to us. Well, men's basketball is so much better than women's basketball. That ain't it. That's not what we're talking about. We just had a 20-minute conversation about sports. No, we just had a 20-minute conversation about sports. And about society, and about that's what women's basketball has kind of brought to the table this year. And so to go back and really full circle this thing, I don't know if you can duplicate it, man. Like, I think sometimes we're at certain levels in our time or whatever, popularity wise, all the rest. I don't know if it will be duplicated. And I don't know if it's, to your point, going to be any. Are people going to watch more of the WNBA now with Caitlin Clark?
I don't know.
I don't know. I really don't. I would say yes, because people are buying jerseys and stuff.
Unless she goes to the Big Three with Ice Cube.
If that's a one-off, a 10-game thing.
I'm kidding.
But I got to believe naturally the WNBA is going to get a boost by these two players really going in.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I feel Angel Reese may get lost in the sauce a little bit now.
Maybe.
I mean, it'll be the Caitlin Clark show. I don't know what ratings look like. I really don't.
Yeah. Let me say one more thing about this, too. To those two young ladies or young women's credit, they delivered. Mm-hmm. They delivered. That is not an easy thing to do in sports. Like, that's the thing I give Caitlin. She's got the ball in her hands the whole time, and she's still knocking down 41 and dishing out 12.
Yeah.
Now, she'll turn it over from time to time. She'll miss a shot, but she delivered. If you're there for entertainment, she's putting on a show. And by the way, Angel Reese was pretty damn good yesterday, too.
Yeah.
I mean, what'd you have, like almost 20 and 20? Mm-hmm.
It's so, 20 and 17.
I mean, hat tip to them. Because when you are under that kind of spotlight, it's easy to fail. Mm-hmm. Those two delivered over the last year and plus, and especially last night on a really big stage. All right, let's take a timeout. We come back, Brent and Austin show. It's UNF Giving Day. We'll visit with Nick Morrow from the University of North Florida. We'll get into some football talk continued as well. And, man, we had so much on the list today.
Oh, yeah.
And we're stuck.
It's the last time I ever type anything ever again. Brock Purdy contract negotiations. We'll talk to you about you.
Yeah, tomorrow. 2 weeks. We got a whole week of shows.
I was trying to tie Trevor Lawrence into it. Not a big deal.
Yeah, we'll get to Trevor. I mean, Trevor's on the back burner today. We'll be back.
Welcome back to the Brent and Austin Show, streaming on the Action Sports Jax 24/7 Network.
It was always the Jax. What does it mean?
About to find out this year.
Will you always think that? We just always think back to 2022 there? Always think of it in a positive way?
Of course.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I just think that, kind of being the underdog a little bit and people doubting you. Yeah, it was always the Jags.
Yes, it was. By the way, we have drafted tight end in Jacksonville now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So that is nice.
Yep. That'll be fun.
I like it.
Yeah. Do you? Are you on board?
I'm kind of getting on board.
Brent's on board. We got him.
Yeah. I have to do a little bit more. I haven't talked into anything.
It goes to sort of the nature of our show. We've talked about the draft now. I mean, ad nauseum. I mean, not nauseum. I mean, it's the big news. It's a story topic. Never really mentioned Brock Bowers really in terms of a need. And now it's almost like, hey, if he falls, let's get him.
About time, fellas.
Yeah, and I told you like a little bit of my reason why was because a little bit of I don't know if it's scar tissue necessarily. It's just that I haven't seen two tight ends used in Jacksonville.
Yeah,
now, we went through that whole thing, and you can always go back and listen on YouTube, our Action Sports Jax channel, or right on our Action Sports Jax 24/7 network, the show replays. And we appreciate everybody, by the way, checking out the stream. I've just looked at some of the numbers from the last month and our first month. Not a bad debut.
Liking it.
On the Action Sports Jax 24/7 streaming network. So I appreciate you. And but you can go back and listen to it. It was in really like the 11 o'clock hour number two of today's show. We talked for like a half hour about this. And
well, just a heads up for the podcast people, it'll still be in the first hour one.
Oh, so okay. Because
I label them that way. Just if you want to watch, it'll be in the first episode of today.
Okay.
Nice job, Hamby. I see you.
Well, that would be listening, Hamby.
Yes, that's
on
correct.
The podcast.
Come on, Hamby.
Podcast gets just up by 1:30. Hamby's doing a good job with the podcast.
Nice.
Podcast also doing some nice numbers, so we appreciate you checking out there. Good numbers.
Are we going to get a Marconi Award or what? Should we just apply now or what?
That is.
You know what that is? Okay, yeah.
Now I know what it is.
Hey, by the way, you ain't been missing much. Don't worry about it.
Inside joke there, folks.
Not really. People may know what a Marconi is. Hey, it's a distinguishing award. It's the Oscars of radio.
Might have been your introductory video.
You better believe it.
That's it. So anyway, hey, it's fascinating with a tight end. I think the big question is, we posed this question. I think this is something to talk about and think about. The question is, two premier receivers, two premier tight ends. Which one would you rather have?
Yes.
And I think there's some interesting debate.
And then you see if you can't go get a jugs machine for Brenton Strange.
Did Brenton Strange have a lot of drops last year?
No. I'm saying that's what you would be able to trade him for because you're not going to keep him.
Hamby!
Listen to what I'm saying.
Okay.
If you draft Brock Bowers.
Hang on. First of all, put yourself in the chat. Put yourself in the video here.
My bad.
That's there you right. go. Yeah.
Let's have a face with this.
Own up to this.
If you draft Brock Bowers.
Yep.
Brenton Strange is all but off the team.
Okay, but say the whole thing. The jugs machine.
So then if you're going to try and trade him,
mm-hmm.
you might not be able to get much more than a jugs machine.
Okay,
for him.
That's at Jason _ Hamby 14.
Yeah. I'm not saying that he's worth that. I'm saying with a guy that's...
He's backtracking a little bit.
Yeah.
Why?
You're not going to get more than a seventh for him right now.
Why do you have to trade him? Why can't he be your third tight end?
Because Thanks. If you're going to keep those two guys with their skill sets, Ingram, I mean, they probably would keep him. But
yeah.
If Ingram and Bowers are your two guys, they're more receiving guys, and both of us have, or we've all said that they can block, but you're probably going to fill your other your tight end room with two guys that are blocking first.
Nope. Here's how it's going to go. Brenton, come to my office. All right. Hey, Brenton, so we're going to get Brock Bowers. Yeah, I know. He's really good, right? Yeah, it's going to be great for us. Hey, do you like special teams? All right, great. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Have fun.
He would play a lot of special teams, which he did. He did already.
Yeah. Get better at that.
But hey, you can have three tight end sets.
It'll be all right. Hamby's training for a jugs machine and a $5 footlong.
But actually, Hamby, I'm not sure, brings up a good point in that regard, but he does bring up a good point if you want to talk about overall investment. is that too much to invest at one position, the tight end position? Because think about it. The Jags just, I forget the deal now for Evan Engram, but maybe it was like in the $40 million or something like that.
Wasn't it three for 35?
Maybe that's what it was. So they invest pretty handsomely, right? $12, $13 million a year for Evan Engram. Then they go invest a second-round draft pick, and then they would be investing a first-round draft pick.
Brent, who cares? We got Tank Bigsby. We got... Walker Little, we don't invest in, who cares, well, man?
But I think
let it ride.
I think it's the same question that people have brought up about, and some have criticized, the Jaguars for investing too much in wide receiver.
Sure.
You have $17 million tied to Kirk. You have another $10 million or whatever tied to Zay Jones this year. You go get Gabe Davis for $13, $13.5 million. And then you were going to actually sign Calvin Ridley, too, for like $19. You got like $60 million or something tied up in the wide receiver position or whatever it might be. That's why I think... the young receiver makes so much sense for the Jags because it's not as heavy as an investment. It is more draft capital, but it's getting younger and cheaper at that position. Now, you could make the case with Brock Bowers at tight end. You're doing kind of a similar thing. But I do think there's like a pie chart, positionally speaking, in Trent Baalke in the front office's room in Jags headquarters. And they do have, okay, this is our allotment here. Now, can you go over under a little bit? Sure. But there is an allotment, and you don't want to probably skew that number too much because it could end up impacting you in a big way in another spot that you can't spend even on an average level where you want to spend.
Engram was 3 for 41. My bad. Not 3 for 36.
Yeah. So, I mean, whatever. The bottom line is they're invested. And then maybe that's not that big of a deal. If you've got a second round pick, a first round pick, and a guy that you're invested in like $13 million a year. That might not be that big a deal.
I'll keep investing until I get it right, Brent.
Well, it certainly would beef up the room.
Oh, man.
And we have said this. We had this conversation a couple weeks back. Like, the Jags have had a hard time really filling that tight end room, and they finally found it. And that's what I think, actually, Trent Baalke, you can make the case. He's done a pretty good job with that tight end room just with Evan Engram alone.
Yeah.
Now, Strange has to come along, and I know that wouldn't be a feather in his cap right now, but if he were able to get like Bowers, all of a sudden, this guy has made the tight end position, it's the best tight end room the Jags have ever had in their 30-year history.
Yeah.
If you were to do that, good or bad, whether it works out, on paper, it's the best one I think they'd ever had.
For sure.
So it's just a fascinating view of that we really hadn't looked at that much. And partly we haven't looked at this because we don't think he's there at 17. All right? There's good reason why we haven't had this conversation. The biggest question is, would you trade up to get him? Do you want him that bad? Because we do think the Jags would trade up to get wide receiver.
I mean, listen, I would rather have, with all due respect to our whole conversation on this whole show here, I'd probably rather have Neighbors or Marvin Harrison Jr. than Brock Bowers right now. I mean, but once again, if I get Brock Bowers, I'm not going to be upset about it. Like, here's where I sit. Odunze, Marvin Harrison, Neighbors over Brock Bowers. Okay. Anybody else? Brock Bowers, come on down.
So he's like your fourth receiver.
Yes.
He's your separator between the top three receivers and everybody.
And Brian Thomas Jr., I see you, but sorry.
Yeah. Well, that's a good discussion to have. Like, you have to make that determination. My guess is this is how these discussions take place inside their building.
Yeah.
Like, where do you slot them? Where would you go get them? Hey, I'm willing to go up to 13 to go get Bowers if all those other three guys are off the board. I think we can do better there. Well, what if Jared Verse is still there? What if Bowers reverse? Who do you take at 17? Like, these are fascinating questions for the Jags because I have seen many a mock draft, and the mock draft is not gospel. We know that. But I've seen many that have those guys slipping down to that end.
Yep.
I mean, they really could. There's a situation in some mock drafts, and depending on who you like to believe, but you really don't know that they could have Verse, Bowers, and Brian Thomas all available at 17, even without moving. Well, what if they're available at 13 and you really like one of them? Are you willing to go get them? Totally different than going to get up to like number 7 or 8 to get a Odunze or Neighbors or Marvin Harrison.
I hear you, man.
A lot in play for the Jags. That's what's kind of cool about this first round for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
A lot in play, and it's fun to talk about. And then I just see like when's the draft start? Thursday?
Yep.
Wednesday night draft odds, Jacksonville Jaguars offensive lineman first round minus like 180. And then it's like, okay, and let's we go. Know what's going yeah, on. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just see that happening. We're having so much fun here, and then all of a sudden, it's just going to happen. I can see it happening now, Brent, because it happens pretty much every single year. Jaguars offensive tackle, minus 180.
Yeah, it's got to be a live bet at that point. Okay. Joe Alt slips to number 17. What in the world? How did that happen? Hey, Hamby, let's take a break, and we'll get Nick Morrow in. We'll get him settled, and we'll talk a little bit about the University of North Florida Ospreys, UNF Giving Day today on this Tuesday. Show you how you can get involved and what's going on, and really some of the Nick has some great insight on what's going on in the world of college sports as well at the moment. It's the Brent and Austin Show, Action Sports Shacks 24/7 Network. On a Tuesday. Bring down
the rain. For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.